In the bulletin are several little scriptures, cuts, but I'd like us to read Psalm 90, verse 12, because it's the overriding scripture for today's message. So here we go. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today, that you would use me so that it would be clear for each of us whatever it is that you want to say to us in terms of our lives right now. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever noticed how fast time flies? Especially the older you get, the faster the days, months, and years go by. And we live these lives that God gives to us, but it's so difficult to keep the truly significant things significant. It is tough to keep the main thing, a lot of the time. Now, I've been around the block a few times, and I have a few years under my belt. Sometimes those years stick out more than others under my belt. But at least I attempt to be wise in the use of my time. Some of you are young. Some of you are middle-aged. You can define that. Some of us are old, relatively speaking. I think people are old if they're older than I am. But gosh, you know, it's tough to believe you will live forever. But some of us believe that myth, don't we? When I look at young people, let's say 15 to 30, they think they are invincible, just like I did at that age. They believe they are destined for great things, and they are full of hope, and the great adventure is before them. Well, I wonder if they will make something of themselves, or will they waste their days on small things? Will they build lasting relationships, or will they end up in broken marriages and twisted friendships and misused time? Only time will tell. But in all of our lives, it's up to you. There was a movie out a few years ago for kids. At least it was portrayed as a children's story. When I saw it, it was good for kids, but like some of the old cartoons from the 40s and 50s of last century, it had an adult message to it. Some of us didn't like the movie. Some of us loved the movie. The movie is Up. And it's the story of an old man who has regrets about his relationship with his wife as he rises above his present life circumstance and finally goes on a great adventure, which he should have done with his wife a long time ago. In the beginning of the movie, now I'm going to show you this cut, and this is after their kids. In the beginning of the movie is about a 5-minute segment in which no words are spoken, but it tells the story of life with all of its living, but along with the living is procrastination and misplaced priorities and distractions of life and lost adventures. A picture is worth 1,000 words.
Something to show you. I am about to let you see something I have never shown to another human being ever in my life. You will have to swear you will not tell anyone. Cross your heart. Do it. My adventure book. You know him. Charles Munch. Explore. When I get big, I'm going where he's going. South America. It's like America, but south. Want to know where I'm gonna live? Paradise Falls. A land lost in time. I ripped this right out of a library book. I'm gonna move my clubhouse there and park it right next to the falls. Who knows what lives up there? And once I get there, well, I'm saving these pages for all the adventures I'm gonna have. Only, I just don't know how I'm gonna get to Paradise Falls. take us there in a blimp. Swear you'll take us. Cross your heart.
Cross it?
Cross your heart.
Good, you promised.
No backing out.
Well, see you tomorrow, kid. Bye.
Adventure it up there!
You know, you don't talk very much.
I like you.
Wow.
Stories show us lessons. And this movie does that pretty good. No words are spoken, but a picture is worth a thousand words. a kid's movie with an adult lesson. Kind of like the Old Testament stories of Moses and Joshua and Gideon and Abraham and so many others. We think they are kids' stories that we use in Sunday school, and we do them for vacation Bible school, not ever thinking that maybe, just maybe, there is an adult message in the stories. The movie Up is like that. As an old man, he finds his wife's adventure book. That his life is at a dead end. So he decides to leave. This third cut is when the house he's in rises above his current life circumstance and he leaves. Up, it's a two-letter word that has more meaning than most other words. In the movie, up meant rising above the predicament and the circumstance in this old man's life. His house went up by carried by helium balloons. Anybody here ever have a dream in which you were flying or you're floating up? I'm a student of dream language. The dream probably was an expression of your desire to rise above some real life circumstance or dilemma or difficult situation. The movie Up is dream language as he rises above his terrible present life. Up. Strange word. Why do we wake up? This old man wakes up in this movie. I hope somebody here might wake up too, but at a meeting, why does a topic come up? We call up our friends. We lock up the house. Sometimes guys will fix up the car. People stir up trouble, line up for tickets, work up an appetite, think up excuses. We use the word to brighten up a room. Warm up the leftovers, clean up our messes. To get dressed is one thing, but to get dressed up is special. We open up the church on Sunday morning, but we close it up at night. The drain must be opened up because it's stopped up. When it threatens to rain, we say, "Hey, it's clouding up." When the sun comes out, we say, "Hey, it's clearing up." When it doesn't rain for a while, things dry up. But when it rains a lot, it often messes things up. We seem to be pretty mixed up about up, which can cause us a lot of trouble. We don't know what's up a lot of times. That causes us regrets, distractions, misplaced priorities and lost opportunities. And like in the movie Up, Even though the old man rises above his predicaments, he has a tag-along kid who has problems as well, and they talk about it.
Wait, aren't you Super Wilderness Guy with the GPMs and the badges?
Yeah, but can I tell you a secret?
No.
All right, here it goes. I never actually built a tent before. There, I said it.
You've been camping before, haven't you?
Well, never outside.
Well, why didn't you ask your dad how to build a tent?
I don't think he wants to talk about this stuff.
Oh, let's try him sometime. Maybe he'll surprise you.
Well, he's away a lot. I don't see him much.
He's got to be home sometime.
Well, I called, but Phyllis told me I bug him too much.
Phyllis? You call your own mother by her first name?
Phyllis isn't my mom.
Oh.
He's really good at camping and how to make fire from rocks and stuff. He used to come to all my sweat lodge meetings. And afterwards, we'd go get ice cream at Fenton's. I always get chocolate and he gets butterbrickle. Then we sit on this one curb right outside, and I'll count all the blue cars and he counts all the red ones, and whoever gets the most wins. I like that curb. That might sound boring, but I think the boring stuff is the stuff I remember the most.
They have their own problems in the movie. And in the movie, the house is tethered to them as they walk on the ground. He's pulling the house behind him. It's as if this man's life is still burdened by the circumstances of life as he strives to get to Paradise Falls. And he learns that his life isn't the only one with regrets and desires, as he talks to the kid. It's hard to believe how quickly time goes by, like this summer which is coming to an end. Whether we're speaking of the last 10 years or 20 or 30 years or more, just this summer, we could all look at each other and say, where did it go? Sometimes we have that frightening feeling that something precious has slipped through our fingers, and somehow the days, the years went by, and we didn't savor them like we should have. A picture is worth a thousand words, and the movie Up can really get into your face if you think about it. We think of all the promises we made to ourselves about the things we were going to do this summer but didn't get done. This summer we were going to do something about the yard. Not me, I don't care about the yard. We were going to relax and enjoy the sun. We were going to exercise. We were going to read some books. And we were going to spend some priority time with family and friends. And this summer, we were going to use the time in a productive way. But now the summer is coming to an end. And it won't be long before the long, cold, dark days of winter force us into heavy coats and boots and slush and snow and frozen streets and large energy bills, and some of us fly south for the winter. We can only say perhaps next summer. Perhaps next summer I'll forgive my father, mother, friend. Perhaps next summer I will make peace with my neighbor, or get into shape, or quit smoking, or lose the weight, or, well, you can fill in the blanks for yourself. Perhaps next summer or next year I will seek the Lord through worship or Sunday school or study or prayer. Perhaps next summer or next year I will help out at the church through teaching, singing, serving, giving. Perhaps next summer or next year I'll check out this thing that everybody raves about called the Great Banquet. Perhaps next summer I'll rekindle the fire that I had when I attended the Great Banquet. Of course, everything will somehow work out much better with less effort and more fulfillment next summer, next year. And the words of Scripture actually whisper to us. I've got these several little scriptures. Read with me Ecclesiastes 12:1. Here we go. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Our Lord Jesus saw everywhere this deadening streak in our human nature, the temptation to put things off, but more than just putting things off, the damning tendency in all of us to postpone life. If we take a good look at Jesus' teachings, we'll find while Jesus was concerned about people taking the wrong bus in life, he was equally concerned about people like you and me not taking any bus at all. Missing everyone that arrived because we always think that there will be another one to come along. Jesus told us stories to show us lessons. Just as I'm using this story in the movie Up to show us lessons. In the story of the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins, half of them missed the wedding feast because they postponed getting oil for their lamps. In another story, which has come to be our story here at this church, the great banquet in Luke 14, there is a big party and invitations are sent out, but those who were invited were involved in all kinds of things, and one guy was going to buy some property so he couldn't come. One guy went out and bought a pair of oxen and he couldn't come. Another guy was getting married and they missed the banquet and party and apparently thought that there would be another one that they could go to. You know, I've actually had that happen in real life. I have known two people who died before they could go to the great banquet. Even though they said they wanted to, it was never an appealing time for them. And then I buried them. We have this tendency to put off eternally significant matters as well as our earthly important matters. There's a classic case of this in Acts chapter 24. I've got a couple verses here when Paul talks to Felix. Let's read it together. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak upon faith in Christ Jesus. And as he argued about justice and self-control and future judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. When I have an opportunity, I will summon you." Felix said, "You know, go away. Get out of here until another time. When it's a more convenient time for me, don't call me. I'll call you." And Felix was saying to the eternally significant and challenging moment, it was challenging for him at that time, perhaps next summer, perhaps next year. And out of the pages of Scripture whispers words with eternal significance. Do it now or your life may just go up in smoke. So often we don't take inventory in our messy lives. In the movie Up, after some of the struggles in his search to find the dream of his wife who has died, he finally finds out that life is to be lived in the moment. And his adventure is still before him. He finds her adventure book. A picture is worth 1,000 words. Once again, no words are spoken. In a scripture, Felix had his moment before Paul, that moment before God. This may be your day. What a host of Felixes we have in this world. Here's the peril of postponing things that only wants that moment, that great moment, that eternally significant moment, that moment before God may only once arrive, as it did with Felix when Paul stood before him, and then it was gone. I know life goes on, but the shell of it a lot of times, the outward kind of mechanical stuff, animal existence under the theme, if I had only, if I had only. Procrastination, putting things off, is the thief of time. Actually, it is much more serious than that and really much more tragic. Putting some things off is the thief of life. But often it is the thief of faith and eternal life. I have a little scripture here, Isaiah 55:6. Read it with me, will you? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. That's the word for us today. That's the word for us this year. The Felix in all of us keeps saying things like, I'm going to get rid of my bad habits. I'm going to change my way of living. I'm going to be more loving. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to make better use of my time, perhaps next summer. How many are the new leaves in our lives that we were all going to turn over? If we gather together all of those leaves and put them together, we could make a book of them. But somehow they never get turned, do they? We can think of all kinds of excuses for postponing any kind of reform that concerns us. Some of us are going to right old wrongs, perhaps next summer. Some of us are going to send flowers to our neglected friends, perhaps next summer. Somehow we end up sending those flowers to the funeral home. We were going to write a letter to someone, perhaps, well, next summer. Somehow we always end up by sending a letter of condolence to the family. We're going to start telling someone how much we love him or her, how much that person means to us, perhaps next summer. Somehow we always end up by putting those sentiments on tombstones. We were going to really seek the Lord. We were going to really do something worthwhile in church, perhaps next summer. We were going to tithe this year. We were going to be regular in church this year. We were going to find an adult Sunday school class. We were going to go to Bible study or Wednesday night. Or we were going to be more loving or caring or faithful, etc., etc., etc. Perhaps next summer. Somehow we always get past that convenient season when that can be done and our time is, oh, here's that word again, up. Our time is up. This kid's movie, Up, which has a very adult message, I've left out all the fun parts. Instead of being a call to real living now, becomes a picture of judgment on some of us. We live in an illusion today. You know, in this country in 1800, the life expectancy was 35 years. By 1890, it had only gone up to 43 years. There's that word again. But today, with the help of modern medicine and drugs, we can expect to live to be 75, 80 or more years old. Better living through chemistry is what I call it. We have added years to our lives, but have we added life to our years? God will never measure our lives by the numbers of years that we have lived. He will measure those years by the way we live them. I wonder how many of us are working at something that we really love or are finding a challenge to our potential? How many of us are living up to the ideals and the aspirations that we had when we were young? What's in your adventure book? On the other hand, how many of us are just eking out an existence, grubbing along until that day that we can retire and do all those things? Those things we postpone. We like to say it's our life. We will live it the way we want to. We forget that it's a precious gift of God, designed for the highest type of stewardship. We are stewards of the life that God has given us. And that should keep us intent on doing something with this life that God has given us, maybe before next summer. We have the possibility of being good stewards and doing something vital and worthwhile with these lives of ours before next summer. In the movie Up, the old man decides to live his own adventure. But in order to do that, he has to unload a lot of the stuff of his house, which is a picture of his life, in order to rise above his earthly existence. Unloads the stuff of his life. It's the stuff that holds him down. You know, I take tours in people's lives, and I listen to people say, I can't do this or I can't do that because I'm not trained. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll take enthusiasm and a willingness to attempt something over training any day. When I came to Decatur, I came here to make a difference in this church, in the community, as far as I could, and push it for Jesus. Not for me, but for Jesus. I understand this principle of up. It's up to me. Our Lord Jesus gave us a warning and a principle in John chapter 9, verse 4. Read it with me. We must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Night comes when no one can work. Buddy, that truth has been around for a long time. Hollywood has expressed that principle so many times in movies like The Cowboys with John Wayne when he said, let's get moving, boys, we're burning daylight. Or the Dead Poets Society when Robin Williams tells those college boys, seize the day, boys, because we are food for worms. The movie Up comes along, and it's a kid's movie, hey, which tells the adults in life, it's up to you. The old man in the movie figures it out as his life or his house slips away. That is a picture. The house floats away. Basically, his previous life was floating away. And the only way you can be and help others is to let your life slip away. And the picture of the house is dream language for yourself. Dying to self is the only way you can really live. And the old man figures this out in the spirit of adventure. It is a simple truth that as we sit making our plans for next year or next summer, that within the day, this day, or this hour, we might be lying on a hospital bed or on a slab in a mortuary. I know it isn't good taste to talk about such things, but the fact that remains, next summer doesn't always come. And it needs to be brought to our attention on occasion to make sure we're on track. What is your moment before God? Well, it's right now. It's right now. It always is. Don't let it pass. Start now to establish or reestablish a relationship with God in worship and stewardship of life, prayer and study and action in your life. No matter where or when you start, there's never enough time to do it the way it ought to be done. Up. It's a strange word. This old man learned about it as he became a servant.
Excuse me. Pardon me. Old man coming through. I'm here for him.
Congratulations, Russell. Sir?
Russell, for assisting the elderly and for performing above and beyond the call of duty, I would like to award you the highest honor I can bestow, the Ellie Badge.
Everybody. So let's give a big explorer call to our brand new senior wilderness explorers. Ready, everybody?
Ka-ka! Roar!
Blue one.
Red one.
Blue one.
Gray one.
Red one.
That's a bike.
It's red, isn't it?
Mr. Fredrickson, you're cheating.
No, I'm not. Red one.
That's a fire hydrant.
Maybe I need new glasses.
Up. It's a strange word, isn't it? Well, I could go on and on, but I'll wrap it up. For now, my time is up. It's probably more than up, so it's time to shut up. So now it's up to you what you will do with this message. It's up to you. Let's pray. Lord, help us to understand, to teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Help us to remember who you are and to seek you while you may be found and to call upon you while you are near. In Jesus' name. Amen.